My own household will tell you that their favorite preacher at Riverside Church happens to be Miss Noriel Torbert. Would you welcome to the pulpit?
Now somebody give the Lord a shout of praise, okay? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Y'all been standing a long time. Go ahead and sit down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We honor the man of God and the woman of God, Pastor Jason. And First Lady Tina Evans, thank you so very much for the opportunity to share the word of God to the people of God. And more importantly, thank you for allowing the Spirit of God to continue to flow in the house. Decade after decade. Time after time. Come on. Listen, I've been serving the Lord for about 15 years. My pastor's been in ministry for over 20. And when I gave my heart to the Lord 15 years ago, it has not been smooth. It's not been easy. It's not always been consistent. But I thank you that you've been consistent for 20 years. So it's hard for me to manage me, but he's been managing y'all by the Spirit of the Lord. So hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the grace that you've given my pastor and the First Lady. I honor my father, Elder George Torbert. Hallelujah. Thank you. Tragedy struck our family 8 months ago, but you've been consistent as well to keep loving and serving the people of God. People are watching your life, and I am following you as you follow Christ. So thank you for your example. I thank you to the women at the Monday night Women of Purpose group. Yay! We getting bigger, baby. Woo, woo! Honestly, I would not be standing here if it wasn't for your love. One night, a few months ago, we were praying. And we were praying for, unfortunately, someone else in the group who lost a loved one. We were praying for Cindy. She lost a loved one not even about a month after I did. And so we were praying for her. I was focused on her. I was just loving on her. And they remembered me. I just snuck into the room. I wasn't trying to have any attention. And they just came over there and wrapped their arms around me and loved me to life. So thank you to all those who have loved me to life, loved my family to life. We love each and every single one of you. We really do. We don't do this just for vainglory. We do it for the King. But we can't do it if our hearts are broken. We can't do it fully. And so I can say, to God be the glory. He has miraculously healed my heart. Hallelujah. 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 So I'm going to jump right into the word. The time is almost 12:15. I know my pastor has given me the permission to take my time, but I'm also going to be aware of what time it is and that you guys do have lives. And so thank you, Lord. We're going to read the scripture. So I'm really going to have to flow in the spirit on this one because I got a sermon that's longer than the time the Lord wants me to stand here. So I'm going to, for those in the back, we are going to do 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but I'm going to start in verse 1, but we're only going to cover 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, but I'm only going to cover verse 4 through 8. So I'm going to read all of that. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of heaven, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. if I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It keeps no record, zero. No record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Hallelujah. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown language and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love will last forever. And so before we pray, this is my one turn to your neighbor. Pastor, this is my one turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and give them the title of the sermon. Do you see the Jesus in me? Really, turn to each other. Talk to each other. Do you see the Jesus in me? Do you see him? Is it evident? Is it visible? All right. I'm going to go ahead and go to the Father. I'm going to let you guys stay seated. All I ask is that you pray for me as I pray for you. I need it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word, Lord God. We thank you, God, for the ability to be in this house, Lord, to be able to serve you, to honor you, to love you, Lord God, and to be able to receive your love. God, we thank you that your love is changing us. Your Lord love is cultivating us into new people, a new creation, God, a people who is able to go after you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. God, sometimes that means we're going to have to give up some things. Give up what our flesh wants in the moment to be able to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So help us, God, to live lives that are surrendered to you so that Jesus Christ may be glorified and exemplified through these vessels. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, I ask all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And so last week, Pastor was talking about the kingdom. He was talking about being citizens of a king. Okay? And so as citizens of the kingdom, we are agreeing to the decrees and the demands and the laws of the king. And that is found in the word of God. We are agreeing as citizens to say, I'm going to lay my life down. I'm not going to always do what I want. I'm not going to always say what I want. I'm not always going to go where I want, because wherever the king wants me to go, that's where I'm going to go. Whatever the king wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever the king wants me to say, that's what I'm going to say. That is what it looks like when we lay our lives down, surrendered to lordship. That is an everyday commitment. It's not just a Sunday morning commitment or a Wednesday night commitment. It's every day. We make up in our mind, no matter how we feel, God, I'm coming after you because I want to prove my love to you. The Bible says in John 14, he says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And so our love to the Lord is proved through living his word out daily, daily. And so under the new covenant, Jesus, when he was sitting right before he was about to leave this earth, he was with his disciples at the Last Supper in John 13, 34, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. And so many times when we're looking at the word, it's so much. But when the Pharisees and Jesus were having a conversation, the Pharisees said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of them all? You have this whole Torah, which was the old covenant in the Old Testament, which was over 600 commandments. He said, out of all these commandments, which one's the most important? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is equally as important to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's if you do those two commandments, the entire law is surmised in those two commandments. I'm not going to murder if I love you. I'm not going to lie to you if I love you. I'm not going to steal from you if I love you. I'm not going to cheat on you if I love you. Love is proven by what we do to one another. And so Jesus said, I know it's important. We're not discarding the law, but we're going to sum this whole thing up, the whole gospel from Genesis to Revelation, four words. Love God, love people. That is it. Love God, love people. I only held up two fingers. So love God, love people. That's four words. There we go. I can count. All right. So that's the whole gospel. That's the whole book. You can go in it. It's important. We need to go deeper. We need to find out more by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if all you get from this sermon is those four words, go after it with all your heart. Love God, love people. That's the whole thing. We make it so complicated sometimes. That's it. And so God in his word is teaching us how to love him. How do you do that? How do I love? Okay? Because we, in our English jargon, we, in our dictionary, we have one word for love, right? I love McDonald's. I love TV. I love the Ravens. I don't. But I love Dallas Cowboys. Okay. Yay! It's my sermon. I'll preach it the way I want. Boo Ravens. I'm not listening to that. And we also say, I love my kids. I love my wife. They're all the same word. But in the Greek, they actually break those words down separately. And so there's many different words in the Greek that actually mean love, but four that most people have probably heard already. So there's storge, which is a family love, the love that parents have for their children and your blood brothers and sisters, your cousins, have for one another. Then there is phileo, which is a brotherly love. Two best friends tend to have for each other. And then you have eros, which is a romantic or a passionate type of love that a man and a woman have for one another. And finally, there's agape, which is unconditional love. Love that comes with no conditions. And that type of love only comes from God, because God is love. That's who he is. It's who he is. It's who he is. He can't be anything else but love. He can only give who he is. And God is saying, I want you to give me to my people. I want you to take the love that I'm giving you, the unconditional love you felt at this altar today. Now take it and give it to someone else. Don't you keep that love. Don't you keep what you felt at this altar. Someone else needs to experience that agape love that you all felt in this altar today. That was real. It wasn't just emotions in this altar that happened. Lives were changed. Lives were changed. But it doesn't stop there. It's got to keep going. The kingdom is unending. It's unending. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. But we have to be yielded to it and say, God, this morning, help me to hear your voice so I can agape your people. Because agape is what sets people free. Agape is what caused deliverance, okay? Not eros. You can fall in and out of eros. You cannot fall in and out of agape. And that's what the world needs. That's what the world needs to see in us, to believe in the Jesus that we're proclaiming saves, sets free, but we're not living those lives. If we're saying Jesus sets free, why are we in bondage? If we're saying Jesus saves, he delivers, then we got to live like it. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we commune with love. If we have a relationship with love. If we spend time with love, you become what you behold. You become what you behold. Whatever is important to you, you will make time for every single time. And if God is your priority, make time for him. Period. You all have 24. We all have 24. How we spend it is up to us. It's our choice. We have choices every day. Choose him daily. Choose him in the moment. Choose him in the morning. Choose him when you wake up. Don't choose social media. Choose Jesus. That, because social media isn't what's saving and setting people free, but the word that you consume can be blessed someone else later in the day. And so that's what we're going after as people of God, fully committed and devoted to the word. And so when I learn the word, when I spend time with the word, when I spend time with love, then I live it out, then I'm loving. If God is love, and John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so if God is love and God is the Word, that means the Word equals love. So if I want to be loving, if I want to agape, then I have to read this thing. We're not faking the funk anymore. We are not faking the funk anymore. People need to see the Jesus in you. And the only way they're going to do that is if you consume Jesus. You can't be what you haven't consumed. You have to read your word. You have to spend time with him. You have to have a personal and intimate relationship with him. And so that he may be evident in you. And so we're going to go to verse 4. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. So what does that look like practically? This is love practically lived out every single day. He's giving us the blueprint to know how to do this thing. We don't have to be on our own. And so love being patient means we're in the grocery store and it's a long line and we're not having an attitude. Oh my God. They don't hurry up. We all got places to be. Everybody got somewhere to go. It's not just about you. So that's love is patient. We're going to be patient. We're going to be patient in that long Walmart line when they don't flip the light on and it's flashing. Whew, hallelujah. And so we're going to be kind as well. So if somebody, if we're driving on the highway and we see, yep, I'm going there. I'm speaking to me too. I'm doing it. I preach to myself first, so, okay. If we're driving on the highway, right? We're not speeding up when people are trying to get in traffic. We're slowing down and letting them in. It's just that simple with our Jesus bumper stickers, right? Come on. Come on. Let's be real. Let's do that. So love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not jealous. And so if somebody else gets the promotion over you, you celebrate. You celebrate. Because you understand if it was meant for me, I would have had it. Because there's nothing that God is withholding from me. Because if he gave Jesus, why wouldn't he give me the very best? Everything that the kingdom has, it's yours. It's already yours. It's already yours. Somebody's going to catch this. It's already yours. You don't got to work for that. Salvation is already yours. Freedom is already yours. Healing is already yours. Deliverance is already yours. It's already yours. That job you already have, and so declare it. That business is already established, so declare it. There's nothing in the kingdom that God hasn't given you yet that isn't already yours. And if you don't have it now, it's probably because you're not mature enough to handle.
I'm going to drink some water on that one.
You're not faking the funk. Okay? Maturity is important. Timing is everything in the kingdom of God. It's seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And so if God hasn't given to you, there's probably some things that you need to grow up in. Maybe he doesn't want to give you that promotion because you still gossip too much and you're going to have to hold secrets. I'm talking to me. Okay. There's a reason we don't give a five-year-old keys to a sports car, because they're not mature enough to handle it. And if they got it, they would hurt themselves more than it would bless them. And so God loves you enough to wait until you're ready. It's not that he's never going to give it to you. Just grow up a little bit. That's pretty good. I ain't gonna lie to you. All right. So love is not jealous or boastful or boastful. So if you do get the promotion, we're not going around in everybody's face. Aha, I know you wanted it, but I got it. We're not doing that either, or proud. And so we're also asking for help. We're not too afraid to ask for help. Pride says I can do it all by myself and I don't need anyone else. That's not the love of Jesus Christ. God gave us one another to grow, to get closer to him, to know him more, because we need each other. The eye needs the foot needs the head needs the fingers. Every part in the body is important, and we were meant to do this together. And so love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, ooh, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Preach, okay? Love is not slamming the door in someone's face who's trying to talk to you, right? Love is not putting conditions on the relationship. If you don't do this by then I'm out of here, okay? Love is also forgiving. I'm going to stay here just a little bit because I hear that in the spirit. And so it really is. People have hurt you, and it was no small thing, okay? You've hurt people. We've been hurt. That's every single person's story in the house. There's not one person who has not had their feelings hurt in this room. There's not one. There's not one person who hasn't gone through a hardship that was painful for them. And so we can, in love, understand what you're going through. Whew. So I think the Lord's asking me to be vulnerable. I was assaulted a few years ago. And God asked me to forgive my offender. There's no clause. There's no comma. There's no but. You just keep no record of being wrong. Because why? Even though I may not have done that to someone else, because that's what the way we think, right, as humans, I would never do that. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and so we all need forgiveness. And so we give forgiveness because that is how he just loved us. We love just as he has loved us. We forgive just as he has forgiven us. There is no exception. There's nothing that says I can hold on to this for the rest of my life. It's going to kill you before you let it go if you do not. And somebody needs to be set free in the house. Somebody needs to be delivered from that thing that's been holding you in bondage for years. Today is the day you let it go in the name of Jesus Christ, because the love and the light of Jesus is healing that thing right now. It's healing the pain of your childhood wounds. God is powerful enough to heal every hurt, every burden. There's nothing too big and too hard for God. It may not be easy. I'm not going to say it's going to be quick, but you got to start. You got to start somewhere. You may need help walking through that, but you're not prideful, so you're willing to ask for help, right? Help me get through this so I can love the person that hurt me, Jesus, because you hung on that cross. You died a death. Your blood was shed for me. For me. I'm not worried about anybody else. For me, you stretched your arms wide on that cross. You took the beating from that cat of nine tails. You let them pull your hair out from your beard. You let them punch you in the face. You let them spit in your face for me. For what I did. So how dare I hold someone else hostage when Jesus, your blood is enough to cover it. You forgave me on the cross, so I'm forgiving them. I'm doing it now. I make up my mind now. I make the decision. No matter what it feels like, no matter what happens, no matter what it looks like, I make up in my mind, I'm doing it now. I'm doing it now, and I'll do it again. If you have to keep confessing it, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a declaration you make in your mind. You may not feel like you've forgiven them. You may still feel the pain. That's real. We don't minimize that. But make up in your mind today. Choose this day. And so, Jeremiah or someone, or angel, either one, doesn't matter. I'm wrapping this thing up. And so we're letting go of those things. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love is happy when people receive mercy and not justice, like they deserved. I don't need to see the wrath of God poured out on your life. To the person who offended me and harmed me physically, I pray the mercy of God overwhelms you. I pray the goodness of God overtakes you. Because it was his mercy that allowed me to be standing here, even when I turned my back on him, even when I rejected him, even when I didn't care about him. And his love changed me, and I pray his love changes you. I pray it changes you. So I don't rejoice like Jonah over the justice and the mercy of God. Jonah was upset because a people was spared and their lives were saved instead of God's wrath being poured out on the city of Nineveh. We don't want to be like that. We want the mercy and the goodness of God to overwhelm and take everyone, not just our friends,
not just our family, not just the ones that we care about. The Bible says in chapter 5, verses 46 through 47. If you love only those who love you, what kind of reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that. If you're only kind to your friends, how are you any different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. Even the world knows how to love its own. Even the world knows how to give a type of love, but only Jesus can give agape. Only Jesus can give unconditional love. Only Jesus can forgive. Only Jesus can heal. Only Jesus can set free. And so verse 7, love never gives up. Never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Don't quit. It's just that simple. I hear that in the spirit. Keep believing. I promise you, I know this for a fact. I don't know much. There's a lot to know. I don't know much. I'm very young. But one thing I do know, Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And if you are on this path of righteousness, don't deviate it. There's nothing else out there. There's nothing else out there. I've been out there. There's nothing at the end of that bottle but despair. There's nothing at the end of that cigarette but hopelessness. There's nothing in the bed of someone you're not married to but rejection. I know that for a fact. I'm telling you what I know. And I know that if you keep your eyes locked on Jesus, even when you don't feel like it, and you don't quit on him, it's going to work out in the end. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. The promises of God are yes and amen. And God is not a man that he should lie. And so he's gotten you here to this point to tell you, to declare that he is the truth. Don't give up on him. 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 Don't give up on believing. Don't give up on believing him. Don't give up on believing in Jesus. Every else fails. Everything else fails. But the name of Jesus is declared from now until eternity. So never lose faith. It's always hopeful. It's hopeful when you shouldn't be hopeful. When you should give up, keep believing through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages. I'm going to ask you all to please stand to your feet. It's the last verse. Prophecy and speaking in unknown language and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. The only thing that's going to matter when you stand before the Lord, because each and every single one of us are going to have to stand before God someday. Every single one, and give an account for what we did with his son. What did you do with the Jesus I gave you? Did you discard him? Did you put him in a drawer till he was more convenient for you to pull out when nobody else was paying attention when you wanted to? Or did you consume him daily and become flesh and blood, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh? Did you know him? We're going to have to stand before him one day and give an account to our talents, what we did with his word. And so Matthew 7, 22 through 23 says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. You who break my commandments, you who never spent time with me, you who never got to know me, you who never formed a relationship with me. But just as Pastor was saying, there's still hope. For those who committed their lives here in this altar, I celebrate what God is doing in your life. And I come against anything that would try to hinder you from going after him this week. Come on. This wasn't just an act. This was real. This was spiritual. This was real. This was spiritual. Lives were changed for real. But the devil is real. And he does not play games. He knows that his time is short. And he is coming after us with everything he got. And so, for those who gave their lives, recommitted, rededicated, got saved for the first time, hear me. Pick up your Bible this week. Pick up your Bible. Be intentional. Allow your mind to be renewed in his word and become the image of Jesus that your neighbor needs to see so they'll believe in the Jesus that you carry. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. The altar call was already given earlier. But if there's anything else that you need after the service, there will be people that will be able to pray with you. And so I'm just going to close out in a word of prayer, and then I'll give it over back to Pastor. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for your son, the gift that you gave us to the body. I pray, God, that you allow us to be images of Jesus here on the earth, because our boss needs to see Jesus. Our coworkers need to see Jesus. Our cousins need to see Jesus. Our friends need to see Jesus. Our neighbors need to see Jesus in us, lived out daily. So, God, I pray that you help us to be patient. I pray that you help us to be kind. I pray, God, that you help us not to be jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Help us, God, not to be irritable, not to demand our own way. Help us not to rejoice over injustice, but rejoice whenever the truth wins out. Help us, God, to always be hopeful, to never give up, and to endure through every circumstance, God, knowing that love will last forever, and the only thing that's going to matter when we stand before you on judgment day is, did we love well? And so, God, if there's anything in our hearts, clean us, purify us, so that we may exemplify agape love, unconditional love, to a hurting world that desperately needs it. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, I ask all these things. Amen.
Amen. Listen, I've been in church for a long time, and I've heard thousands and thousands of sermons. I was just sitting here thinking, there's not too many times, but could probably count on one hand, how many times I didn't want the sermon to end. I wanted them to keep preaching, and this was one of those times. I just wanted you to keep going. So, Sarah, put Noriel back on the preaching schedule. Let's not wait. So, absolute amazing job. Thank you so much, Noriel, for hearing the voice of God, following the leading of the Spirit, and delivering that word for us today. I didn't like a lot of what you preached. I don't like you talking about me like you did. I know how mom feels, but it was good and I needed to hear it. And I'm going to go home and let the Spirit of God search my heart and make sure I'm not holding on to any unforgiveness towards anybody that's ever wronged me or ever hurt me. That was a powerful moment. What he did on the cross, if he could do that for me, I can forgive others. I love that. Amen. I love you all. I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you all so much for being here. I wanted to just take a moment to recognize a special guest all the way from Texas. Pastor Mike is with us. He did a wedding ceremony for Zach and Kelsey, and he's visiting with us today. Make him feel welcome and appreciated, Mike. Thank you for being here worshiping with us today. We're grateful. Mike, I know you liked the sermon because she said she was a Cowboys fan. So, and Mike's from Texas, and I know. So I'll let you have that because Noriel preached it today. Anyway, can I just say this? I want to honor and appreciate this church family for sticking around and staying and honoring Noriel and honoring the Word of God and not leaving out of here before you listen to the Word of God being preached. I know we stayed a little bit longer than we typically do, but I'm going to tell you right now, that was well worth it to me. I'd sit and listen to that all day. For those of you, last thing and I'm done, for those of you that came to the altar and gave your heart to Jesus, I want to let you know, whether you rededicated, got saved for the first time, or gave a fresh new commitment to God, on September the 14th, I'm filling that baptistry up with water, and I'm going to be baptizing folks. I want to challenge each and every one of you that came to this altar and prayed that prayer of commitment to meet me in that baptistry, and I will personally baptize you in that baptistry, and we will solidify and put an exclamation point on what happened in this altar today. Go to our website at RCC Life. You can scan that QR code and sign up for water baptism. It'll be on Sunday, September the 14th. Make sure you're a part of that. That's all I have. God bless you guys. I love each and every one of you. Thank you, worship team. You did an amazing job. To the children's ministry that kept our babies through this long, I appreciate you. I owe you. I thank you. You guys are amazing and awesome. I love each and every one of you. Do me a favor. Hug somebody around the neck. Shake them by the hand as you leave here today. You are dismissed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God continue to make His face shine down on you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you.